Welcome to Dig, a podcast about creativity and some other stuff. I'm your host, Yossi Solik, and on today's episode, I'm talking to Bethany Cosentino. She started her band Best Coast with Bob Bruno nearly a decade ago, and since then they have released 3 full-length albums, plus a kids album called Best Kids last year. Beth is also a talented writer, a fellow therapy enthusiast, and the recipient of 90% of my Bitmojis. Sorry, Beth. In this episode, we talk about doing what feels right no matter what, how self-actualization makes your capacity to make art limitless, how sometimes it's harder to be vulnerable about how happy you are than it is to be honest about being sad, and how songwriting might be more difficult when you're not miserable, but it's also more satisfying. There's also some discussion of my aspirations to become a middle-aged micro-influencer in 2019, but that's neither here nor there. As always, there's a lightning round of things Beth is digging right now. If you guessed Vanderpump Rules made that list, you would be a good guesser. Here's the interview. Dig. Welcome to Dig, Bethany Cosentino.
Thanks, Yossi.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
You guys, Bethany brought me a beautiful mascara as a friendship gift today.
It's gorgeous.
It's by Milk Studios.
It's called
Milk
Kush.
Makeup. Mm-hmm.
It doesn't work for me because I have greasy eyelids, so I hope it works for you.
I feel that it's misleading that the first fact about yourself revealed on this podcast is that you have greasy eyelids, because you're so much more than greasy eyelids to me.
Oh, Yossi.
Bethany, let's take it from the top,
okay?
As I like to do. I know that your parents are artistic in the arts. Your father is a musician.
Uh-huh.
Is that how you started playing music when you were young?
Or yeah. Why, I mean, my parents allege that I sang before I could speak. It's something that they've been saying.
Was that like
forever.
Humming though? Because like, how can you sing without speaking?
They just said that like words. I always sang, and I was super into like Disney movies. And so I would listen, I would like watch like The Little Mermaid or Beauty and the Beast or whatever. And I would just like sing those songs all the time. And my dad has like recordings of me like singing in the bathtub, and just like, basically I think my parents were just like, she's got it. And so they like really kind of pushed it, but I also enjoyed it. And then, yeah, I just like did talent shows and like church choir and school choir and like musical theater. It was like the only thing I was good at. So
you primarily sang.
Yeah.
From the beginning. When did you first start playing any instruments?
I took piano lessons when I was like 8 or 9. From this guy at my church that was like my dad's good friend. And then I started playing guitar when I was like 12 or 13, which is like when I started to get into punk. So that was when I was like, oh, I want to play guitar. And I saw Brody from the Distillers with a guitar, and I was like, I want to do that. And then what I learned at that age of how to play guitar is still what I know to this day.
Is that when you went to the guitar shop in Montrose?
Yes.
And looked at the pink electric guitar?
Yes. Did I tell you the drama about the pink electric guitar?
No, do go on.
There was this girl that I was friends with in high school who also wanted the pink guitar, and it was like the only pink guitar in the shop. And my mom got it for me. And when she found out that I had gotten the guitar, no longer friends.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mean girls.
Yeah.
The mean girls of Montrose.
Like, now we're friends because we're like adults and we're friends on Instagram. But like, she legit was like pissed that I got this guitar.
Did she also become a world famous musician?
No. I think she's a graphic designer now.
Do you think that you stole her chance?
Maybe I did. Maybe the talent lies within the pink guitar from Grayson's music shop in Montrose.
It feels like there's some sort of made-for-TV movie here that we could explore.
Maybe we write that.
Your Wikipedia is, I'm going to say mental, as most people's Wikipedias are, but one little factoid really grabbed my attention. Let's talk about this Little Caesars commercial.
Oh, have you not seen it? Have I not showed it to you?
No.
It's available on YouTube. I'll send it to you.
So you starred in a Little Caesars commercial when you were a child.
I won't say starred because the main star was a poodle.
The dog.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. My mom did commercials when I was a kid, and I think I just like saw a commercial that she was in, which I want to say was like a Wheaties cereal commercial. And I was like, I want to do that. And she took me to her agency. They had no kids signed. And they like saw me. I had this big, huge, like curly hair. And I was very, I'm a ham, as you know, you're my friend. Imagine me as a child. Like it was extreme.
You're and so, really putting it on.
So they were like, okay, we'll sign her. And then I just started doing commercials. But the Little Caesars commercial, I think, was the biggest one I did. It
so you
was
did
like
more than one.
Oh, yeah. I did a Pepsi commercial. I did a toy store commercial in the Midwest called Child's World. I did the Little Caesars. I think that might be it. And then I did like some background stuff in like movies and things like that.
So would we say that Wikipedia calling you a child it's actor a little is a extreme. Bit of a stretch?
It's really funny because when I do interviews, like people will be like, so you were a child actor? And I'm like, I wasn't really, but I just am sort of like, I mean, I think now I would tell someone like, it's not that extreme, but back in the day, like I would just say yes to whatever question. Sure. I'd be like, yeah, for sure. Like total actor, classically trained.
Classically trained. I was in many films. Okay, I'm glad we covered that.
I'm going to send it to you. It's pretty good.
I can't wait to see it. And then I'm going to link it in the show notes so you can all watch.
Awesome.
Tell me what the first song you ever wrote was like. Was it around that same age, like 13, 14?
Oh my God. The first song I ever wrote, yeah, it was around that age. It's funny because I was walking Josie, my dog, the other night, and I started singing it for some reason.
That
and
first
was like,
song?
How do I even remember this? But I think the only way I remember it is because I wrote it about my first boyfriend who was no good for me, and we broke up, and I wrote this song. And I guess it's like that was the way that things were for me for several years.
Writing just songs about boyfriends.
Writing songs about guys that were no good for me. So I think that one just like kind of stuck with me. But I don't remember if it was like on guitar or piano. It was probably guitar. But I wrote songs pretty much the same way I do now, where I just wrote them about whatever was going on in my life at the moment.
Are you more comfortable writing music on the guitar or on a piano?
The guitar, I think, I mean, let me be honest, I'm not great at either, but I can like do enough that I can play a song and like accompany myself in some regards. But I think guitar, I'm more comfortable because when I play and write songs on piano, it's like very, it's
Adele.
Yeah, it's like not great. Not great.
Correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, you know that I'm both tone deaf and cannot play one single musical instrument except the recorder that I learned when I was in the fourth grade. And I think we played Amazing Grace. But like, you don't have to be like super good at an instrument to write songs, right? Like you don't have to be like a sick shredder to write
no.
good songs.
No, I mean, I think it's like, I mean, I've made a career out of writing pretty much between 4 and 6 chord songs. And I think it's like, it's pretty like repetitive back and forth. And sometimes it sucks because I'll try to write and I'm like, my ability only goes so far. So I'll try to write something and then I'm like, fuck, I'm just stuck in the same like pattern. But as I've like grown as an artist and as a songwriter and just in my like confidence level, like I've just learned that it's okay to like let people in to help you. So now I think it's a bit of a more collaborative effort when it comes to writing, whereas in the beginning I felt like I had to do everything myself. But no, you don't have to be like a shredder to write a song. I think it's really just like whatever you're comfortable doing and like how you can challenge yourself with that, you know? Because
yeah.
I mean, it's like anything. You don't have to be like, well, I guess there are some things you need to be really good at, like surgery,
gymnastics.
Never mind. I retract that statement. Some stuff you
really
have to be good at.
It's really only surgery and gymnastics. I think we covered all the things. Nothing else is important for you to be really good at.
Everything else you can be
go
subpar.
Ahead, wing it. It's fine.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of writing songs and collaborating and letting people in, Best Coast is you and our pal Bob Bruno.
Uh-huh.
Shout out Bob Bruno. have a very successful creative partnership with Bob.
Yeah.
But in a lot of ways, I feel like it's unusual.
Yeah,
I'm reading
for
my
sure.
questions verbatim. Like, you guys don't sit down and write songs together, right?
No. We tried that one time, like, in the very, very beginning, and it was so awkward because we were both just sort of sitting there, like, looking at each other being like, is this cool? And then I think I just, like, looked at him and was like, let's just not do this. Let's
did it
just
feel too self-conscious?
Yeah. I mean, I would say, like, if you want to, like, when people are like, how would you describe Best Coast? It's like, I would say, like, self-conscious. Like, that's pretty much, like, how to describe our band, because I think Bob and I are both super humble and we don't have egos when it comes to that stuff. So it's like, it makes it trickier sometimes because both of us are like, is this good? Like, please don't hate this. Like, I'll send him a song and be like, oh my God, you're gonna hate it. And he'll be like, no, it's great. And then he does the same thing to me. Like, he'll use those, like, the monkey emojis with, like, the eyes covered, because he's just like, please don't hate this. And I'm like, this is great. But as time has gone on, we've started to, I think, be a bit more collaborative in the sense that, like, he started sending me instrumental tracks that he's written that I'm now writing, like, lyric and melody to, which has taken pressure off of me of having to be the sole songwriter. But yeah, like, we don't do it the typical, like, jam kind of way. It just doesn't work for us.
Who is Paul McCartney and who is John Lennon? Or if you prefer, who is Mick Jagger and who is Keith Richards?
I want to say that Bob, I would say Bob is probably Paul McCartney and I'm John Lennon.
Cute.
I almost said John Legend.
And I'm John Legend. We have a weirder
actually,
band.
That's better. It's Bob is Paul McCartney and I'm John Legend.
I think, I'm sure they've done a song together at this point
probably.
In this stage. Have you heard Paul McCartney's new song, by the way?
No.
Bruh.
Wait.
It's called, like,
explain.
I Wanna Fu You.
No.
Yeah, like F-U-H.
Stop.
Like, I'm not going to say that you can erase the entire Beatles legacy with one song that is this aggressively terrible.
Is it like a dance song? Like, what's the vibe?
It's, like, very modern.
Okay, I'm going to listen.
You're going to have to give it a listen.
Yeah.
Apologies to Paul McCartney. I know you listen to this podcast. I still respect everything you've done. Oh, yeah, you guys, we've recently discovered that we charted in iTunes Brazil. So I want to give a special and heartfelt thank you to all the 22 listeners in Brazil.
Come to Brazil.
Do dig live. So I want to kind of go back to, you were in high school, you started playing music, started hanging around the infamous Smell.
Yes.
And the first band you were in was called Pocahontas.
Uh-huh. Yes, ma'am.
And it was kind of, how would you describe that band sonically?
Confused.
But it was like a little weirdo, right?
It was weird. It was like a drone, kind of like experimental. It was just like I was in a weird place in my life where I just like wanted to be playing music, but I didn't, because I had come out of just doing like a weird like singer-songwriter thing, right, where I was like being chased down by like Atlantic Records and they wanted to like have me be like a teenage, you know,
from MySpace, right? Because you were putting your music on MySpace.
Well, Pure Volume. MySpace wasn't even a thing. It was Pure Volume. And then Pure Volume, then I started to do MySpace and, you know, and then I would like play shows. Like I played a couple of shows. I played at like The Whiskey.
Wow.
Yeah.
As a teenager.
And then the Hotel Cafe. But basically like I had done this very like singer-songwriter thing, but I was like into punk and I had like a short boy haircut and I was like, this isn't my vibe. Like I want to do something weirder. And so then I just quit making music.
Had Ashley Simpson not paved the way yet?
I don't think she was. No,
it could have gone so differently for you if Ashley Simpson had already broken that ground.
It's true. But so then I just kind of stopped making music. And then I had this boyfriend who was like into making like weird noise music. And he was like, well, what if you met these people that I'm friends with that do a record label and like. Then me and this girl started this band, and I just kind of, like, I didn't like it, but I just did it because it was like something creative and I just felt so stifled. I was just like, I don't, okay, I guess I'll do this. But that's actually how I really became close with Bob. So I think in the end, the lesson I learned from Pocahontas was that someone like Bob was like a good person to collaborate with in the long run. And he and I became super close throughout that process because he and I were kind of the only people that did anything. Like, no shade.
Or no shade, no tea.
No shade, or maybe shade. Yeah, Bob and I pretty much did everything in that band.
Were you surprised? Oh, so Bob was in Pocahontas.
Bob was in it, like, behind the scenes.
Okay.
And that was, like, how we first met because we talked at these, like, recording sessions we would do. We would talk about, like, the Beach Boys and, like, Bruce Springsteen and the Beatles and Fleetwood Mac. And, like, I thought that Bob only liked, like, black metal.
Yeah, were you surprised to know you guys had, like, similar frames of reference?
For sure. I think the first band that we really, really geeked out over was Cocteau Twins because that was something that made sense to me, that he was into, like, all the 4AD bands that I was really into. But then when we would talk about, like, how much we loved Pet Sounds, I was like, this seems so weird that this guy likes this shit. And then so when years down the line, when I like decided that I wanted to start another band, which ended up being Best Coast, I was like, I feel like Bob would be a really good person to do this with because I wanted it. Originally, I had wanted it to be sort of like weird but poppy, which it then just sort of became poppy, less weird. But yeah, so I think at the end of the day, like Pocahontas was worth it because of Bob. And we opened for like Sonic Youth and I got to do all sorts of cool shit in that band. It just wasn't, genre-wise, not the kind of music I ever wanted to be making. It just kind of fell out of thin air into my lap.
Yeah, it almost sounds like it was like a weird school.
Mm-hmm. Kind of, yeah. Yeah.
Speaking of school, actually. So, in my deep journalistic research of Wikipedia, I noticed that you went to college in New York.
Yes.
To study creative nonfiction.
Uh-huh.
And this was after Pocahontas.
Yeah.
What was like the thinking behind that? Like at that point, were you like, I'm not sure if I'm going to do music. I want to like go to college and study this thing and maybe become a writer. Or did you always kind of feel like you might go back to music?
Well, when I was in Pocahontas, I was going to school. I was going to PCC and I was taking
Pasadena City College.
For those of you in Brazil. I was taking writing classes because I had always like enjoyed writing as a kid. I wrote a lot and the only real class I did well in was English. Like I always did well in like anything literature involved. So while I was in Pocahontas, I was going to school for writing at Pasadena City College. And then I had like had this idea that I wanted to transfer and I wanted to move to New York because I literally was obsessed with like The Sopranos and Sex and the City and Woody Allen. And I thought that was like what it would be like to live.
Who didn't move to New York
Coast?
City because of Sex and the City? I mean, show me a person.
So anyways, then I went to school there. And yeah, at that time I was just kind of like, I think I'm over making music. But I always felt like music would sort of just like naturally find its way into my life if it was meant to. But I wanted to focus on writing, and then I interned at the Fader, so I was doing, like, some music stuff and, like, music journalism. And then I started writing a lot of my, like, nonfiction pieces were, like, essays about California. And my professor of this one specific class, like, took me aside one night after class, and she was like, I think you, like, really miss California. And I was like, yeah, I do. And then I was like friends with people in New York that played music. And I was just like, you know what? Fuck this. I don't want to be here going to school. I want to play music again. And I literally quit my internship over GChat, told my two best friends in New York that I was moving, broke up with my boyfriend, like called my mom and was like, come get me. And she literally got on a plane, flew out, picked me up, and I was home by that, like next Monday. Like it was nuts how quick it happened.
Yeah, that checks out with you and your personality.
Yeah,
and
you know me.
And your confidence in your decisions. Actually, I want to talk about that because that's like one thing I really admire about you and I think is kind of like a cornerstone of you as an artist too, is that you have this like strong confidence in your like art and your voice and your direction. And I feel like that seems like you've had that always.
See, it's funny because I think to you, it appears confident. To me, it's so the opposite. Like, I think I just do things based on, I mean, let me go back and say, like, I think I'm confident in terms of, like, I really have a strong intuition. And when my intuition tells me something, I typically am like, I'm going to go with this. It's gotten me into trouble before. But I think as far as my career goes and as far as, like, art and creativity goes, it's never, like, taken me into a weird zone. Like, it's always ended up putting me exactly where I think I need to be. And I think for years I ignored my intuition and was just sort of like, shut up, I'm not going to listen to you. But that was just about other sort of like more personal life choices. But I think, like, intuitively, I've just always listened to my gut when it comes to my art and to music. And I think ultimately that's what's allowed me to have the success that I've had, is because I don't ever do something that feels wrong. I only do it if it feels right.
Yeah, because I don't think many 15-year-olds, when given the chance to sign to a major label, yeah, like, you could become a pop star. Like, that's gross. No thanks. I'm gonna go play shows at the Smile.
And I remember, like, my parents, even when I was going to college, my parents, which sounds bizarre because I don't think many parents would do this, but my parents were like, "Why are you doing this? Like, why go to college? You're so talented. Just keep chasing the, like, musical dream." And I was like, I don't want to do that shit. And I'm glad that I didn't, because I don't, like, I wouldn't have ended up being me had I gone that weird direction, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think it's like, it's just, I think when it comes to business and when it comes to my career, I'm really good at just letting things happen. But when it comes to life, not so much, as you know.
Again, who amongst us?
You're like my text therapist, so you know all. You know everything.
When we die, someone please come directly into my phone.
No.
Delete all the text messages.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I thought you were going to say, like, publish them. I was going to be no.
That will not be my legacy.
Although the Bitmojis.
The Bitmoji, yes. Bitmojis, you can keep all the Bitmojis and make some sort of comic book out of them. Well, I guess in that same vein, you know, you have been making music as Best Coast since you were quite young.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of things in your life have changed. Like, you write about what's going on in your life, and things that are going on in your life probably aren't the same as when you were 20 years old.
Mm-hmm.
How do you approach songwriting now that's, like, maybe different than you did then?
I mean, I think part of why there's been such a large gap in between our last record, which came out
2015,
thank you, Wikipedia. Why there's been such a large gap is because so much has changed in my life. And I think the way that I was writing before was so just, like, it was therapeutic in this way, where it was like, that was the only way I processed how I felt. And I would just put it into song form, and I wouldn't ever really, like, think twice. I would just be like, today I feel like shit. This thing sucks. Like, I'm so fucked up, blah, 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 blah. Song, that's it. Mm-hmm. No therapy, nothing. No, just that.
No self-actualization.
Nope. It was just like, it went into a song. And now I think, like, in the span of, like I said, that gap between the last record and where I'm at now, like, I've had to do so much processing that I feel like songwriting has become different to me in this way, where now it's like I have these sort of, like, more thought out, like, I understand myself better. So it's like, I don't want to just write. I don't feel the same. I don't process my thoughts and feelings the same way that I did when I was, like, 22. And so I think it's like, because I think a lot of the stuff that I was going through, I was like, I could definitely be writing songs about this. But I also think it was like, I needed to not write a song about it. I needed to, like, legitimately live through it, you know, and, like, process it and deal with it. Which might seem weird, because I think a lot of people use songwriting or just any writing in general as a form of, like, therapy and self-evaluation and shit like that. But it's like, that's not the way that I do it. So I think now the songs that I've written, like, that are going to end up on an album that we record at some point in time. I don't know when, but it's going to happen. I think that stuff is just a lot more thought through and things feel more linear. Like, I think in the past it was just like 12 songs about how bummed out I was. And now it's like, maybe there's 2 songs about how bummed out I was. And then it's like the next song is like, but then I went through that thing and I got here. And yeah, I just think like my brain has changed a lot and the way that I process stuff has changed.
Is it harder now to write songs?
A little bit, I think, because it isn't, I mean, not to like act like my life is all like sunshine, lollipops, and rainbows, but it's like, it's a little bit harder to write when I don't feel so defeated all the time.
Right.
I think like, because the sort of music that Best Coast has put out, and I've always sort of been this figure that I think everyone kind of knew what to expect from me, like, I don't have the same, like, I used to write songs about wanting to die. It's like, I don't want to die anymore, you know?
Amen.
And I don't have that same feeling. And it's a little bit harder for me to be vulnerable and write about, like, how happy I am as opposed to how sad I was. It was just so much easier to do that. And so I think now it's like, It's been a little bit of a struggle, but I think I've come to a point where I'm, like, comfortable with it. And I think it's also just accepting, like, this is my truth. And, like, this is the shit that I have to say now. And everybody complained about how annoyed they were hearing me complain about how bummed I was. So I think sometimes now I'm just like, well, everyone's just going to have to deal with the fact that, like, I'm 32 now and I don't feel like shit all the time, you know? Because trust me, there will be people that are like, this is annoying because everyone, I don't know, everyone sucks.
Truly, except for the 22 of you in Brazil who made my podcast chart.
You guys suck. Bless
you. We love you. I guess that's another thing, the question that I kind of want to ask is like, does it feel restrictive to like make music under the same band name as when you were 22 and like it has such a specific connotation from that time, and it's, you know, it's gone over time, but like do you ever feel like, ugh, I wish I could just start over with like a new thing that has no preconceived notions and like it just is this music, or like do you prefer that it's like an evolution of the same thing?
I think there's like a little bit of both. I mean, I really don't feel like I would ever want to start over, because yes, it is very much an evolution. And I do think that like fans that have been there since the beginning have enjoyed watching me grow and have grown with me, because that's another thing. Like a lot of our fans are younger than me, but they like got into Best Coast when they were going through their like teen angst. And I was just going through my teen angst in my 20s.
Right.
You know, most
Same.
People are dealing with it like when they're actual teenagers. But I do think that like there are certain things that I feel like I'll never be able to shake, and that is annoying. Like, I'm never not going to be able to be asked about my cat. I'm never not going to be able to not be asked about weed. Like, there's just certain things that people are always going to talk about. California, literally going to be talking about it until the day I die. But that's like, it's a part of it, and I get it. And I think my answers over the years have changed. And I think that is the thing that makes me okay with it, because I don't give the same stock quote anymore where I'm like, yep, I'm from California, I love it. Like, now I can talk about the way that my relationship with it has evolved, or, you know, like, I've just grown so much as a person that I feel like I'm better at handling that stuff now than I was then. But yeah, I mean, there's definitely elements of the band and of the aesthetic and of the sort of, you know, like the word lo-fi. I would love to never hear that word again, but I'm sure I'll be hearing it like for a long time to come.
Hold on, I'm so sorry. I just need to go back to my questions and cross out.
Delete.
Weed. Snacks the cat.
Lo-fi.
Oops, California. Okay, so interview's over. No, I'm just kidding. is there a band that you maybe... you and Bob or you alone just admire in the sense that they've done a similar thing where like you feel like they started out one way and have evolved over time and have had like a really graceful way of doing that, and you kind of hope to like have a similar trajectory?
Yeah, Paramore.
Oh, good answer.
I think Paramore is a band that like has done so much growing and changing, not just as a band, but as people. And we toured with Paramore last year. And I think like we did this tour with them where their last record had just come out and they were doing like underplay, sort of like smaller venues. But the size of the venues that they were playing were small to them. But to me, they were like the size venues that I'm like, eventually these are the size venues that I want to play. So I feel like doing that tour was almost in this way, like this, I had this crystal ball that I was like looking into being like, this is the goal that I want to set for myself. And I think that like, again, I think that was one of those things, as I've said, like, I think the things that happen in the legacy the lifespan of Best Coast's career have been very like organic and have been sort of this weird, like just like very like intuitive, almost like psychic sort of thing. And I think that like, I was meant to do that tour because it showed me like, this is what I want to strive to. And this is where I think that this band will eventually end up, not like at a Paramore level of success, but just as far as like, in terms of like the room sizes that we were playing and sort of just being this band that like has these like lifelong fans, because Paramore's fans are like, they're wild and they're dedicated.
I read the fan fiction online.
They are like really, and you know, it was also cool to tour with them too, because like their fans admire Haley so much and what Haley is into. And Haley's been a champion of Best Coast like since day one. So I think like there are tons of fans that I meet that are like, oh, I heard about you through Paramore or through Haley. And so I think like it's kind of a realistic goal to have, because I have that in my back pocket of like the support of Haley and of that band. But yeah, Paramore, they're the best. I mean,
that like, After Laughter album
is so good.
Chef's kiss.
It really is.
So good.
It's so good.
That's actually a really interesting example of a way of putting in kind of the opposite of you, maybe like putting in processing dark feelings mm-hmm. in like a really interesting pop yeah. lens.
Yeah.
Which I think is like a very difficult thing to do.
Yeah. I mean, that's sort of always been something I've tried to do with Best Coast is like, because I remember, like, my grandma one time saying, like, oh, your music just makes me feel so happy. And I'm like, are you listening? Right. Like, are you listening, though? Because it's, like, people, I mean, don't get me wrong. I love plenty of bands that are, like, the music is, like, very gray and down.
Yeah,
like,
listen, sometimes I'll listen to Elliot Smith till the day like, I die, but time and a place.
Sometimes you want that kind of stuff, but sometimes you want to just, like, listen to something uplifting with bummer lyrics, you know? And yeah. I think it is a difficult thing to do, and that's why I think that record is so incredible, because it's like you're just bopping your head along in the car and then you're realizing like this girl is singing about some wild shit.
Yeah.
And like I've done the same thing. Like people say to me like certain like some, you know, I hate the song Boyfriend at this point. I'm so over it, but people are like, that song just makes me so happy. I'm like, it's literally a song about a girl that's like depressed that this guy is not her boyfriend, and you're like, oh, I played that song for my boyfriend and it's our song. I'm like, that's a shitty song to have be your song, you know?
Well, like Feeling Okay, I really love that song.
Yeah,
to be a creepy fan as well as a friend.
Listen,
but because it's
also a fan of yours.
Oh, you and the 22 Brazilians. You are my fan club. No, because it's such a like, it's really honest. It's about, you know, a real way of looking at like the ups and downs of emotions and putting it into a song that's both kind of like uplifting but also sad at the same time.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, it just feels really resonant with people like myself who deal with like anxiety and depression.
Yeah.
That even with all my 5.5 years of therapy, amen, therapy, shout out Athena for the 100th time, it's still hard.
Yeah.
Being alive is extremely difficult.
It's very hard.
They don't tell you.
It's very, very hard.
So hard.
And like, I think the thing with that song was like, I wanted, like at that moment in time when I wrote it, I was feeling better, but I wasn't all the way there yet. And that's why it's called Feeling Okay. Because it's like, I'm just okay right now. And I was fine with that at the time. And I think like, it's funny because the songs I've been writing
They're called Feeling Great now.
But, well, honestly, like...
Feeling awesome.
I'm doing a lot of, like, self-referencing, which is fun, because it's, like, I'm getting to bring up old lyrics from the past and sort of, like, twist them and be, like...
Like, kind of tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah, and I always kind of thought that was cheesy, but, like, it's been really fun to do, to the point where it's, like, there's at least 4 songs I've written for this next record, which, again, like, I don't know when it's happening, but it's happening. There's at least, like, 4 songs that, like, are referencing myself. And Bob and I just, like, because I'm like, I wonder if people will notice. And then I'm like, some will. Some probably will be like, she said that before, you know.
Can't please everyone. Not everyone's smart enough.
Not everyone is smart enough. Grasp. But yeah, like, I do think that that song, like, at that point in time, like, that was as good as I could get. But it's gotten a lot better.
It gets better.
it gets better.
Have you read that any interviews with Robin about the new album?
No.
Actually, it reminds me a little bit. I mean, I think it's a bit of a different case, but she basically went into like a hole for a while and didn't put out music, and everyone was like, "Where's Robin?" And she was going to like intense therapy like twice a week for like several years to deal with like whatever issues she had, depression, she had some grief stuff, like a very close collaborator of hers died. But, you know, I think people expect like, oh, the music you make after you're therapized is going to be worse because you know, you're singing about these raw emotions and now you're healed and it's going to suck. And
yeah,
like,
but you're never healed.
You're never healed. And that's like, I think such a reckless way to think about mental health, but also it's just incorrect because like the new Robin album is incredible. And it's almost like you were a bit saying before, like, if you can more deeply understand yourself, I think you can, it's almost limitless than what kind of art you can make about yourself.
Totally.
Because you have a deeper and wider understanding.
And it's also like when you're bummed, it's like, at least for me, like when I was bummed, it was just like all I could write about were the same like 5 things over and over again, which was like, I didn't sleep. I was taking a lot of pills. I was drinking too much. My boyfriend at the time and I were having like all these issues. Like that was all I wrote about because I was consumed by it constantly. And now it's like, you know, I feel like the person that I am today, I just, yeah, like I understand shit better. And so there's like, there's actually more to discuss, you know, than those like top five bummers.
I'm just curious, how many songs on the new record are about me? Is all it like a respectable
22,
two?
22 it's a full, Brazilian songs.
It's a concept album.
It's concept a concept album.
Is Yasi.
About Yasi, yes, pretty much.
Okay, I want to wrap up soon, but I wanted to shift to some questions about, I think you have a very distinct and strong personality. In the most amazing way. And I think it's, you know, it informs.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I like you. But, you know, you've been an artist that I think has used social media. And I don't say used in like any sort of like nefarious marketing way. Like it's.
Well, I have.
But.
Botox.
Oh, right.
We can discuss.
Shout out.
That's fine. Dr. K, thank you.
Shout out influencer posts, hashtag. And this is a great time for me to tell you all, not related to Bethany.
New Instagram.
Yes, my 2019 goal to become a middle-aged micro-influencer. And you can follow my new Instagram at mirrorpix, P-I-X, 4, the number 4, you, where it's just photos of myself in my outfits in the mirror. Please help me achieve my goal of becoming a middle-aged micro-influencer in 2019.
It's a great account. I've been following for 1 full day and gorgeous.
Listen, Brazil, get in there. No, but, you know, I think you use social media very authentically and always have, and I think that's draws people to you because you kind of just say whatever you're thinking all the time.
Yeah.
And it's wonderful. I think that's parlayed itself into people also, like you also having such a distinct voice that maybe opportunities have come your way that are not music related.
Mm-hmm.
How do you kind of deal with, like, how do you parse and sort through things that come your way? Like, for example, like you did a fashion line for Urban Outfitters many years ago. And I know you love fashion. Like, did you ever think that you wanted to, like, spend more time doing fashion or doing a collection, or was that like just, oh, that was fun, I wanted to do it once?
Well,
I don't know how that question really flowed at all, but
I got it, man. I got it. I'm with you. I So before I went to school to be a writer, I was going to taking fashion classes, and so I had an interest in fashion.
Were you like Doogie Howser? You were like 17 when you. How many schools did you go to?
This was also at PCC. Okay. PCC actually has a really good design program. So if anyone listening is interested in fashion design, PCC. Actually, Jennifer went to PCC for fashion
Jennifer
design.
Jennifer Clavin
at one point,
of the band Bleached, formerly of Mika Miko. Shout out Jennifer Clavin. Yeah. Were you paid to plug Pasadena City College on this?
I think the FCC,
either one, because the FCC, you know, I'm required to disclose if these are paid ad drops.
Nope, okay. Just a big fan, honestly. Great school. Very good school. But yeah, I took some fashion classes, and I always had an interest in it. When I was like, right when I had dropped out of high school, I started a clothing company with one of my friends called Baby Jesus, where we would just hand sew like all these garments, and I would sell them on my LiveJournal. And I got in a lot of trouble because I didn't send like half of them to the people that paid for them. But I was like a wild little spunky, like, baby bang girl, so, you know, whatever. Anyways, to get back to what you asked me, that opportunity sort of just presented itself, and I was like, this seems awesome. And having had a little bit of the background and the interest in fashion, I was like, sure, I'll do this. I would love to do it later on down the line elsewhere. I mean, I would also do it with Urban Outfitters again if they would have me.
Hey,
shout
Urban
out
Outfitters.
Urban Outfitters.
Call us.
Well, but
Bethany, not me.
But I think, like, again, I don't push for shit. If it's meant to be, it'll be. That's just like, and I wish that I could apply that same sort of like belief into all the aspects of my life. I don't understand how my career is the one that I'm like pretty chill with. My therapist says it all the time. She's like, Allison, as you know.
Shout out Allison.
You know her name.
I do.
She will say to me like, you know, like in life, if something is stressing me out, or if I can't, like, if I'm harping over the same thing over and over again, she'll be like, well, just apply the same principles you do to your business. Like with work, you always know it's going to just work itself out, and you don't go into things with huge expectations. You're just kind of like, cool, if this like giant car commercial sync goes through, like, I'm going to make all this money. Oh, it didn't go through, whatever, not the end of the world. Like, if a person doesn't text me back, I'm like, they hate me. They're never going to talk to me again. Yep. However, like when Camry wants to use a song in a commercial and then last minute they decide, nah, we're good, we're going to go with someone else, I'm like, all good, bro. I wish you the best.
So when you get ghosted by Toyota, it's fine.
Yeah, but like if a dude ghosts me, I'm like,
shitty dude who we don't care about.
No, thank you.
Not that's the case. Well, are you still writing at all, or do you still have, you know, desire to write? It seemed like something you really loved if you went to school for it, and you did some professional writing technically at the Vader.
I mean, like a couple years ago, I was like, it's actually funny that you asked that, because just today I was talking to this woman, but I was like approached by somebody, like a literary agent, to like write a book proposal. This was like 2 or 3 years ago, and I just, again, like, it just wasn't the right time. I was trying, but it wasn't working. And I was like just making excuse after excuse after excuse. And I finally just got back to her like, sorry, Becky, like 700 years later, and was just like, you know what? I really want to do this eventually. It's just not the right time in my life right now. But I think eventually, like, I'll probably write something. People seem to like the things I have to say. I don't quite understand why, but
I subscribe to it IRL and my text message chain literally all my waking hours, so I would definitely read the book.
So yeah, I mean, yeah, I would love to do that. Every once in a while, like, I get asked to do some sort of like op-ed for like Billboard or something, and I usually say yeah, because it's fun to like flex that muscle.
Are there things that you get asked to do that you're like, that's really not me at all, and you're like, gross, please don't ever talk to me again or my children?
Yeah, I mean, not that they're gross. I think, though, I do get asked sometimes to do things that just don't feel authentic. Right. And I'm not good at faking things, as you know. Like, I'm just not good at it. I'm like, I can be like
for a child actor. You think that you'd be better faking things.
Yeah, if only I had just like gotten like maybe 5 or 6 more commercials, I'd be really good. But I'm just not good at being phony. Like, right. I just can't do it. It's like, it feels disgusting. Mm-hmm. And that goes, that like, that goes hand in hand with like certain opportunities that I'm asked to do. Like, I've been asked to do things before, you know, like, as like social media wise, like I've been asked like to sell products before, and I'm like, I can't do that.
50?
Like, no, never that. But like, it'd be nice to have like an extra, you know. I mean, some of that stuff pays a lot of money.
I would
which
post
is
about
crazy.
Fit tea and hair gummies every single day for the next 6 months if they would pay me $100 a post. I am cheap. Please contact me.
Only $100?
Listen, I'm not Bethany Cosentino of Best Coast. I am Yossi Selleck, emerging podcast star in Brazil. Call me up. We're trying to get this middle-aged micro-influencer game popping, y'all.
Anyways, I support you.
Thank you.
But no, like there is some stuff where I just have to say no. And that's something I'm getting better at doing as, because in the beginning, I just feel like I said yes to everything because I was like, oh my God, all these opportunities will dry up. And now I'm just kind of like, I don't need to do that thing. I don't need to like play everything I'm asked to play. I don't need to play every show. I don't need to like do every press request. Like I just don't have to do it because some of that stuff just doesn't make sense, you know? But I think that's something that comes with, it comes with like how much work you put in. Because I remember in the beginning, like we had to tour so much because we had to build up this sort of like, we had to get to a certain point where we were able to say no to things. So I think that's always advice I give to people when they first start is like, take the opportunities that are worth your time, and the ones that aren't worth your time, like, you know, like you don't have to do every fucking.
Right. Other opportunities will come. Don't
you don't
worry.
Have to do every like live acoustic radio session you're asked to do. Your label and your manager will tell you do, but you don't have to. You just really don't.
You'd make a great mentor.
Listen, best coaching. I start my life coaching company.
Listen, your third act is not far off.
It's happening.
Is there anything else?
I'm going to go back to school. Many schools. PCC, should I go back?
I feel like they'd take you for free at this point. It's like they'd give you a scholarship.
Only after they hear this podcast, though.
Do they live in Brazil, though? Because otherwise, I don't think they're going to hear it. All right, Bethany, we have reached the storied and mythical portion of Dig.
Okay.
The lightning round.
Oh, no.
This is where I give you topics and okay. You tell me something that you're digging right now in
okay.
that topic.
Okay.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
The first one is book.
Book. Okay, well, I feel like because I'm always referencing it to people and I actually haven't finished it yet and I was reading some of it last night, I will just say Codependent No More by Melody Beattie.
Great.
I've told you about that book. It's a good one.
I've not read it. I have a myriad of issues, but codependency is not one of them.
Lucky you.
Music.
Music. I really love the Rustin Kelly Dying Star album, husband to Casey Musgraves.
It's a country record.
It's a country record. I love it. It's so good. I was listening to it on the way over here. It's just like good sing-along songs about being an ex-addict, and I relate to a lot of them.
Great.
I am not a country male, but sometimes I feel like one.
You can dare to dream.
Movie.
Or film, as intellectuals might call it.
Film. Cinema.
The cinema.
Cinema. Does it have to be a new movie? Any kind of movie?
No, any movie. So just something that you're like digging right now. It could be old. It doesn't matter.
I'm trying to think of... I watched Love Actually recently. I did not dig it. Can I just give you that answer?
You're in a group of people that have strong opinions about Love Actually, and it's gone back and forth every year about whether or not that's...
Do you like it?
I love it.
You do?
Okay, but... No, I don't even have to qualify this. I just like it. It's just like a bad rom-com. There I was like Hugh Grant.
No, I get it. They're like in the beginning, I was like, I think I'm obsessed with this movie. And then by the end, I was like, what did I just watch?
Yeah, there's like a school of thought where it's like really anti-feminist because the women like barely speak. Frankly, I'm all for like no speaking from Keira Knightley. So like that's fine for me. But no, yes, it's true. There's issues on either side. It's the baby, it's cold outside of films.
Yeah.
100%. Okay, but what about TV? Because I feel like I should have said film or TV because you have we'll have
yeah,
a
faster... Yeah, don't ask me about movies. Ask me strictly
television.
About television.
And I know exactly what you're going to say. Go ahead and say
Vanderpump
it.
Rules yep. Season 7 just premiered on Monday, 9 p.m. on Bravo. I am not being paid by them, but I should be.
Okay, next. Website or magazine? Something, a media property.
Website or I don't know, Yossi. I don't know what to say here.
The cheesecakefactory.com to look at the menu before we go to dinner. Wait, that's my favorite website.
Pretty much.
Do you not look at websites? I did have a guest, shout out Jessica Hopper, who flat out was like, I do not care for websites.
I don't really look at websites, if we're being honest. I like really don't. I mean, I read like articles that are sent to me by my best friend, Jessica. I'm like linked to things through Twitter.
Sure.
Like that's kind of how I see stuff. I also just bought a new computer. So I'm like just getting back into the world of like going on a computer and going to a website. Okay. Cause like, I just didn't really do it very much on my phone.
What about Instagram account? Cause I feel like we could sort of say that's a website in this day and age.
Yeah, I guess you could Instagram account.
If you don't have an answer, I feel like I have an answer for you that I can slip you under the table that you might be like, oh, that is my answer.
What is it?
Not All Geminis.
Oh, yeah, duh. Yeah, Not All Geminis.
Shout out Not All Geminis for your astrology memes that I torture my boyfriend with.
I mean, just like astrology memes in general, I think, are very important. But Not All Geminis is like really like top tier. Mm-hmm. For sure.
Keep those Scorpio memes coming for Bethany.
So good. Yours are always really good, too.
Mine are. It's all about being hungry and wanting nachos and wanting a cashmere blanket and buying clothes.
What about Etsy? Can I say Etsy?
Etsy is 100% a website.
Etsy. I've been doing a lot of deep dive Etsy stuff. I almost bought Slipknot sweatpants. Listen, I've changed, but I haven't changed that much.
I can't believe the word was almost. Why didn't you just click the cart? Check out. Because
they're from Malaysia, and it was, like, really expensive.
Last category.
Okay.
It's just et cetera. Anything that you're digging right now that you're like, let me talk about it. Could be a couple of things. Doesn't have to be... There's no constraints.
Okay. Oh, God. These sorts of things always get me. These, like, digging. Can I say, I just bought, since I feel like this is you and me, I can really go deep with this. Although I don't know how to pronounce it, so maybe I shouldn't say it. Wildia?
Oh, Weleda.
Weleda.
Mm-hmm. Skincare, Weleda. You can get it at Whole Foods.
Weleda, Whole Foods, skin food. It's genius. Have you used it?
I have. It's a more of a nighttime product, right? It's kind of a heavy moisturizer.
You can use it as a primer under your makeup, I just discovered.
Even with your greasy eyelids?
I don't put it on my eyes.
I'm just kidding. I was just trying to bring it full circle from the beginning.
You're great. You're great at this. It's a good thing. It just is made my face feel really fresh. And also Orange Theory Fitness. Shout out. If you want to sponsor me, I will sell all the memberships.
Get
for
it,
you.
Bethany, for some Orange Theory SponCon.
It's just the best. You should come with me sometime. I think you would hate it.
Exercise. Well, thank you so much, Bethany, for being on my podcast.
Thank you for having me on your podcast.
Dig was recorded at the Ruby Studios in Los Angeles by the Wind Beneath My Wings, Sammy Jr. Our incredibly catchy theme song is by Heather Fortune. You can find more of Heather's music, none of which sounds like this, but is very goth and very good, at heatherfortune.bandcamp.com. heatherfortune.bandcamp.com. You can follow us at Dig the Pod on Twitter and Instagram. Thanks for listening.